Have you ever looked at the stars on a clear night and seen the immensity of the universe? Thought to yourself how insignificant and small I am. Thinking of the greatness of God and of creation. David asks in Psalm 8, "What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him?" And yet in Psalm 23, David takes a different perspective. The Lord God Jehovah, the creator of the universe, keeps me in mind. The omnipotent God is my shepherd. The sovereign creator of the universe, who does as he wills in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, is not just a remote sovereign, a ruler somewhere in the universe exerting his arbitrary will. Rather, he is mindful of me. He is my shepherd, and he cares for me. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of confidence and hope and joy. Because I am secure in that God who is omnipotent and yet who loves me with an eternal love and who cares for me. Psalm 23 is a psalm of complete trust and faith in our covenant Lord. So it's a psalm we should memorize, but it's also a psalm we should take to heart. That is, we should let it grip our soul and our thinking and our emotions and not just our intellect. How does the Lord shepherd me? The psalmist says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." This is causative action. That is, it is forcible. It is compelling action by my shepherd. Like a mother forcing her young child to lie down and take a nap. Green pastures, the word David uses, means the tender, fresh green grass. It's the rich grass of spring. It's so rich sometimes you have to watch the cattle or the horses that are let out on it, or they'll bloat. It's interesting, this is also the word that is used for oasis, a place of refreshment, of greenery and water in the desert. David says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." He, my shepherd, who watches over me and guides me, leads me to quiet, refreshing waters. This is not running water. This is not running rugged streams. It's rather quiet little pools of water. Some of you are familiar with cattle. Cattle are driven. We have roundups and we drive cattle with horses. They're pushed in whatever direction you want them to go, and sometimes forcibly. But sheep were led, and they still are led. They're followers. Think of the arid land in which David dwelt, and the sheep responding to the shepherd's voice follow him to the places of rest and refreshment, where there's green grass and pools of water. At Presbytery this past week in Lander, Wyoming, which is cattle country, it's also sheep country, and there were some very large herds of, or flocks, excuse me, of sheep. And I stayed with an older couple, Dr. John Harris in particular, and I've known him for a number of years and had good conversations with him. But in one of our conversations, for some reason, he started talking about all the flocks of sheep around and how he had had the opportunity to talk to a Basque shepherd. Years ago, some people from Spain, Basque by nationality, came and took up shepherding here. And this happened to be a woman, but they live in what they look like as little covered wagons. In fact, I saw one while I was up there out in the field. They're still out there. And they watch over the sheep. And he said that he asked the woman what would happen to the sheep if they didn't have a shepherd. And she responded by saying simply they would die, because they are unable to go and find food. They're unable to find water on their own. They're, as we talked about last week, pretty helpless creatures. And unless the shepherd leads them and guides them, they'd be lost. And the shepherd also protects the sheep from, it's pronounced in the West, coyotes. But they are after the lambs. Sheep still need shepherds, even today. It said that there are four things that keep sheep from lying down and resting: being fearful, being bothered by other sheep, being bothered by pests and flies, and being hungry. To rest, sheep need to be free from fear and tension and hunger. And who is it that helps sheep to be free from these anxieties? Is it the sheep itself? Maybe the ram? No, it's the shepherd. The shepherd sees to all of these matters. Sheep are timid, and they panic easily at the slightest provocation. If one gets upset, it quickly spreads to the whole flock. They're defenseless against enemies. They need protection. They're dependent upon the shepherd for security. And I will tell you that in Wyoming, the shepherds have rifles and know how to use them to take care of predators. When David was a shepherd, he served his father. He was the youngest. So he was out in the fields watching the sheep. He was deadly proficient with his sling and killed a lion, we're told, and killed a bear to protect his sheep. And he was so good, we're reminded of it and demonstrated his ability in his encounter with Goliath. Often just the presence of the shepherd in their midst and hearing the voice of the shepherd quiets and reassures the sheep. They're safe. All's well because the shepherd is here. Remember, David did this by doing something rather unique. He played a harp to his sheep and sang to them and probably started writing some of his poetry, psalms back then. In all of this, we are so much like sheep, aren't we? How often do we become fearful over nothing. Over little things. We wake up in the middle of the night filled with panic about some situation, some circumstance, and we worry and we fret about health and money and job and children, forgetting that our shepherd is present. And our shepherd is watching over us, just as he promised. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Paul writes to Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sheep also get bothered by other sheep. This world would be pretty good if there weren't people in it, right? But we have to have people. I don't know if any of you have ever had chickens or encounters with chickens. Chickens are interesting, but they have a pecking order. It's insignificant. And such as chickens are, they have a pecking order when you have a little flock of chickens. And they keep that pecking order by pecking. And woe to the little chicken that's at the bottom of the pecking order. You sometimes have to separate them. Sheep do the same thing. They butt one another if they get in their way and push each other around. And usually the older ewes dominate over the younger ones by sheer force. It's interesting, in Ezekiel chapter 34, God makes reference to this very characteristic in relationship to Israel. I will feed my flock, God says, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back that which was driven away. I'll bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep, because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns, and scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. This tension and jealousy for the best spot, the choicest grass, keeps the sheep alert and fearful of lying down and resting. But when the shepherd is around, they forget about the other sheep. And he gets their attention. The shepherd's presence makes all the difference. It's no wonder that God uses sheep as a picture of believers, because we're so often like them. We butt heads and quarrel and compete to be first in insignificant things. When I was in school, I was in the school band. I played trumpet along with several others. Now, in bands, there's often chairs, that is, first chair, second chair, third chair. And we were constantly challenging each other to get first chair, to be first. As Christians, we can reflect that same selfish, me first attitude, just like sheep and children. But our shepherd wants us to be at peace and content. God says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul writes, the man of God must not be quarrelsome. And personally, Paul understood this. And he tells us about all the things that he suffered. Floggings and shipwrecks and hunger and cold and jail, beatings. And yet he could write, I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. And the word content that he uses means sufficient. Paul was confident that his shepherd, the Lord Jesus, would provide green pastures and still waters that were always sufficient for him. So he could be content. He could be at rest, at peace, even in jail after a beating. And we likewise need to keep our eyes on our shepherd, on Christ. Not other people, not other sheep, not our circumstances, which sometimes can be overwhelming. We just need to keep our eyes on our shepherd, on Christ. Who are the sheep that get special attention from the shepherd? Mostly the weak, the sick, injured, perhaps the wandering. You can be certain that when you are afflicted, when you're troubled, in difficulties of one kind or another, and life is closing in around you, that your good shepherd is caring for you, watching over you. And when your eyes are upon him, there can still be peace in your heart. There are also pests that bother sheep. How can they rest when flies are biting their noses? When ticks are biting their skin? Well, they don't. The sheep stomp and kick and shake their heads. They run off through the brush trying to get relief. The careful shepherd watches out for such activity and acts to get rid of those pests. No doubt you've heard of sheep dip. They actually used to build a trough, and then they would fill it with some vile substances and push the sheep, make the sheep swim through those troughs and that liquid. And in the process, the sheep not liking it at all, and yet it would get rid of the ticks and the bugs hiding in their wool. Foul smelling, foul tasting, but really good for them in the long run. Our shepherd also seeks to protect and strengthen us against pests, spiritual and otherwise, that can bring harm and destruction to our souls. And he uses sometimes something along the order of sheep dip. Sometimes it's unpleasant and difficult things. And it irritates and is difficult perhaps, but in the long run, it's always for our good. It's always to strengthen us and make us safer and healthier. Christian, you must trust that your shepherd will not do anything for you but what is best and for your good. Even when it's difficult and disagreeable, it's for your good. It's for your spiritual growth. It's to build faith and confidence in your shepherd. Yes, indeed, sometimes our shepherd makes us lie down. And then sheep will not rest if they're hungry. Well, they need to be fed before they will rest. They need those green pastures. Shepherds like David in that dry country, as Palestine is and was, would search diligently in the hills for places of good pasture and water. And then they would lead the sheep to them. And in the physical sense, our shepherd sees to our needs as well. Food and clothing, shelter. Doesn't he generously provide? Psalm 37, David gives thanks that I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God cares for his own. But in Psalm 23, David is primarily thinking of our spiritual care. That is, the good shepherd, my shepherd, makes me lie down in the choicest of pastures and leads me to quiet, cool waters. It's a picture of sheep resting in perfect peace, totally cared for, needs met, complete contentedness. It is trusting in your shepherd, looking to your Lord, that you will find rest from the worry and the fretting about life. He has and will provide for you, and you can rest safely in him. Throughout Scripture, there is an emphasis upon rest. God himself created the universe in 6 days and rested the seventh day. Israel worked 6 days, then worshiped and rested the seventh day. Every 7 years, the land rested. There was no plowing, there was no working the land. Land and people rested. This Old Testament emphasis upon physical rest was for our physical well-being. But it was also a reminder, it was a picture of our need for spiritual rest. A spiritual rest in our covenant God. So we read in Hebrews chapter 4 this application. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered God's rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. I often reflect upon Christ's ministry on the earth. It only lasted 3 years, probably a little less. And he did so much and had so much to do. So many people to teach, so many sick people to heal, so many men and women to disciple and instruct. He was constantly surrounded by demanding crowds. And yet, as you read the Gospels, it's striking that Jesus is never in a hurry. He always has time to talk to people, to meet their needs, to deal with them. And he also, in spite of that, constantly we see that he took time to rest. We see him resting physically because he was man. He was human, 100%. And he also took time to rest spiritually. So we see him in times of prayer, in times of worship in the synagogue. We read in Mark chapter 1, then Jesus healed many who were sick with various diseases, cast out many demons. He did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Too many today, including Christians, are constantly rushing, always busy, always active, oftentimes with things that are of lesser importance. We live under the tyranny of the urgent. We live our lives picking up as you would dollar bills when there are $100 bills lying about. And as a result, we do not take time to rest. We do not rest physically. Studies say that most people do not get enough sleep. People don't take vacations, don't recreate. The other side of it is some people recreate too much. And recreation is kind of their religion. But spiritually, most people do not rest either. Being still before the Lord, shutting off the cell phone, reading God's word and praying, spiritually resting in green pastures beside still waters. Many Christians do not rest on the Lord's day. Jesus said that the Sabbath, the Lord's day, was made for man. It's a gift to us from God for physical rest as well as spiritual rest. The gathering of the church together for worship is a gift to rest and restore your soul, as well as to praise God for His gifts and His blessings. You need to take time to lie down, Christian, in green pastures and feed on the Word of God. You need to be at the still waters to drink of the water of life, Jesus Christ. The psalmist admonishes us along this line, be still, be quiet, and know that I am God. Sometimes our shepherd needs to make us lie down. There was a shepherd seen carrying food every day to one of his sheep, and when asked why, he said, well, he was taking it to the sheep because the sheep had a broken leg. And under further discussion, the shepherd said that he'd broken the leg himself. Of course, that raises the question, why would a shepherd do this? The shepherd said, well, this was a wayward sheep. And he was always constantly running astray and leading others astray and getting into all kinds of trouble. So to preserve his life and perhaps the life of other sheep, he had broken the leg and reset it. The broken leg made the sheep still. It had to lie down for a while. It was compelled to take food from the hand of the shepherd. And through this, she came to learn to depend upon the shepherd and to look to him for her needs. Christian, you too need to learn to lie down in green pastures at the hand of the good shepherd. To be quiet before the Lord, to feed upon the green grass of his word, to drink the quiet waters of prayer. And if you resist, sometimes the shepherd has to force you to lie down, to teach you to depend upon your shepherd. Francis Havergal penned a poem reflecting this. He said, resting in the pastures and beneath the rock, resting by the waters where he leads his flock, resting while we listen at his glorious feet, resting in his very arms. Oh, rest complete. Christian, if you want that peace that passes all understanding, if you desire to live in faith and obedience to God, you need to trust him. You need to rest in your loving shepherd's perfect, gracious, and loving care.